as our ascended Lord. Amen. Your fellow redeemed, this is the seventh Sunday after Easter, the Sunday after the ascension of our Lord, in Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who gave their lives so we can be free. And on Thursday this past week, the Christian Church celebrated the ascension of our Lord, the culmination of the 40 days of Easter, this Thursday. Because Christ gave convincing proofs for 40 days that he was risen from the dead, and on a Thursday, he ascended to the right hand of God, which lesson you heard at the beginning of the service. So today, we ask ourselves these three questions. What is the significance of Jesus' ascension? How do we obtain eternal life? And why must we be kept in Jesus' name? The prayer today is Jesus' high priestly prayer, which he prayed on Maundy Thursday. He looked up to heaven and in the sight of his apostles in the upper room spoke John 17, his high priestly prayer, an insight into the mystery of the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one, yet they are not three persons. They are one God, which we will reiterate on Trinity Sunday and the Athanasian Creed. So today, let's first of all, on the Sunday after the Ascension, consider what is the significance of Jesus' Ascension. Jesus' Ascension was viewed publicly by the apostles. After he had done all he did for our salvation and taught us, after he had been crucified and buried and on the third day was raised, he ascended before their very eyes into heaven. And, having proclaimed the kingdom of God, Jesus is now at God's right hand, and the angels proclaim, "This same Jesus taken up from you into the clouds will come back in the same way you saw him go, upon the clouds with the angels." What is the significance of Jesus' ascension? It's twofold. He is ascended to the right hand of God as our intercessor, as our eternal high priest. He sacrificed his own blood upon the cross as our priest. He was also the sacrifice. He says, "For my sake, Father, have mercy on these people. Forgive their sins. Have mercy on them. I took their punishment upon myself, and I give them my righteousness." He intercedes for you every day as your high priest. You don't go through life on your own. Jesus leads you every step of the way. And by his own blood, he paid the payment you could not pay. But he paid it in full, and God the Father accepts his sacrifice on your behalf. Jesus ascended as your intercessor before the throne of grace. But also, Jesus ascended to fill the whole universe with his presence. Now that he is ascended, he fills the universe so that he can be present wherever two or three are gathered. He's not absent. It is true, you can't see Jesus with your eyes yet, and you will on the last day. But he is present among us because he fills the universe with his presence in his ascension. He's with us as two or three gather around his word, around water and word in baptism, absolution, bread and wine, Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion. He is present. He is not absent. And when the apostles chose Matthias, who is also an eyewitness of Christ's resurrection, to take Judas's place, and then 10 days later after Ascension, which we celebrate next Sunday, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the apostles and we bear witness the same Christ who was crucified is raised, ascended to the right hand of God, and is coming again in glory. The significance of his ascension, he's your intercessor. He fills the world and the universe with his presence, and is present with us right here today. The second question I asked is, how then do we obtain eternal life? Well, first we have to ask, what is eternal life? Jesus, when he prayed this high priestly prayer, lifted up his eyes to his Father in heaven. And there's this great mystery where, Father, I glorify you, you glorify me, you give to me all your words, I give your words to them. And he says, this is eternal life, and you are all ears. Know the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. If you know that, you know God, and you have eternal life. Because he accomplished the work on the cross, the work is completed. And he refers to the glory that he had before with his Father in heaven in eternity. Long before Jesus was born of Mary, he is and always has been the Son of God in eternity, which we confessed in the Nicene Creed. Very God of very God. This Son of God left the throne by his Father, came here to be among us here on earth, and now has returned to that throne. And the right hand of God is not some local place, but the place of God's power and strength. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. But how do you and I obtain eternal life? St. Peter said that because of Christ's suffering on our behalf, and his glory has been revealed, in the name of Christ, the God of glory, the Spirit rests upon you. The Holy Spirit enables you to obtain eternal life by creating faith through the proclamation of the gospel. Your name is Christian. You are in the household of faith. You are righteous before God the Father because Jesus' righteousness is credited to your account. Being justified by grace alone through faith means that you have eternal life now. The Lord's dominion lasts forever and ever. And even when you die, you go to life eternal. And so you actually have eternal life through faith in Christ now. That is why Peter can say, in the view of that, since we have obtained eternal life by grace through faith, humble yourselves, cast all your anxieties upon him. Take the burdens off your own shoulders. Give them to Jesus. He can carry them. You cannot. Be sober-minded and watchful. He will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you in your faith. You obtain eternal life through simple faith in what Christ has done for you. And through him, you do have eternal life. So yes, we celebrate Christ's ascension. Yes, we know we have eternal life by faith. And lastly, why must we be kept in the Father's name? Meaning, kept throughout your whole life into eternity. The Father's name comes to us through Jesus. Your word I have kept, Jesus said, and I've given my word to them. They've received that word as truth. The word of the Father came to Jesus. Then at Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit, who inspired the apostles to write the Bible, which you are hearing right now and you've heard read. So the Father's name, which has been placed upon you in your baptism, for when you were baptized, your name was connected to the triune name of God. Jesus prays for you, though the world has rejected him. Holy Father, keep them in your name. That's that triune name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in which you were baptized. Why must you continually be kept in the Father's name? Well, Peter told us. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You ever seen a lion? Does it show any mercy to the little lamb when it's hungry? No. It devours the lamb. You are the lamb. The devil's the lion. The devil wants to devour you. The devil hates you. The devil wants you in hell. That's what he wants. But yet, you can resist him firm in your faith with the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of Christ's righteousness upon you, and the shield of faith. You, with the Word of God, do battle with the devil. You are not defenseless. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit by which you resist him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Even the Lord Jesus himself quoted the written Word of God when he experienced temptations. So when you memorize the Word of God, when you have the Word of God inside of you, when you experience the devil's temptations, you quote the Word of God at him, and he must run away. You cannot defeat him in your own strength. Peter said, we share the sufferings of all the Christians, the brotherhood throughout the whole world. But because we are kept in the Father, we are one even as he is one. You must be kept in the Father's name so that you can resist the devil. So in conclusion, my friends, our Holy Father will keep us in Jesus Christ in his holy name. Our Lord Jesus Christ ascended as your intercessor, and through faith in him, you have obtained eternal life. This weekend, as on Memorial Day, we thank the Lord for all those who served in the armed forces of our country defending our freedoms. We are thankful that we here in the kingdom of the right, the church, can proclaim the gospel freely, because in the kingdom of the left, those who've served in the military had defended our freedoms in this country for which we give thanks this weekend. We are the United States of America, a federal, constitutional, democratic republic. Men and women have served in the Army, in the Navy, in the Air Force, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. Many of you are veterans, and we thank you for serving our country and nation. But some have died and gave their lives for our freedoms, and we thank God today for our country and this weekend for those who gave their sacred lives, and we honor our sacred dead. Ever since I was a child, I've always gone to the cemetery with my family on Monday to pay respects to those who died, to hear the veterans list the names of the people and the veterans who've died this past year, to have a prayer, put flags on the gravestones of those who have died. Do that yourself. Give honor to those who gave their lives so we can proclaim the gospel in freedom and never take these freedoms for granted. So our Lord Jesus Christ has given us eternal life, and as our intercessor, we have that eternal life until we will see him in the last day, and may he keep you until that last day. May the Lord Jesus and the Holy Father and the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in the Father's name until Jesus does come back upon the clouds with all the angels, to whom be glory forever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds, faith in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.